I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is April 11th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, an article by Wayne Laugesen entitled, Our View. By God, This Has Got to Stop. A quick comment before I begin. Remember this goofball Laugesen? This is the ghost worshiper who has a penchant for smashing windows and getting caught in the act by a national news service. Tisk, tisk, I wonder what Jesus would say. Now the article by Wayne Laugesen. No, Michael Newdow, there is no Santa Claus, but there is a God, even in your life. Wayne, you're halfway there. You figured out the Santa Claus fantasy. Now if you could just do the same with the other invisible ghost, you could come play with the rest of the adults in the real world. His article continues. That's why you can't just have a court strike the word God from the Pledge of Allegiance and United States currency to suit the interests of atheists. Wayne, you had no problem when the word God was added to the pledge and to the United States currency in the 1950s to suit the interests of Christians. Also, you dishonestly try to paint the picture that it is only atheists who are complaining about your bastardization of our pledge and our money. You conveniently omit Muslims, Jews, Hindus, and all other religions who worship a different invisible ghost than the one you worship. His article continues, Newdow, a doctor, a lawyer, and an atheist, has worked for years to get the courts to remove references to God from the currency and the Pledge of Allegiance. He claims the references are unconstitutional, violating a legal fiction called separation of church and state. Wayne, denying reality is all you people have. Science never supports your myths, and our laws and constitution prove that you are lying. Yet lying is the only option available to people who have no evidence to support their beliefs. However, if you people succeed in creating the Christian nation you so desperately want, separation of church and state will become a fiction. Back to his article. In his latest battle, Newdow couldn't convince a three-member panel of the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the most liberal federal court in the land, that God should be stricken from currency or the pledge. Wayne, the opinion contained a clear violation of logic. Judge Bea made the statement that our nation was founded on Christian ideals, which is quite clearly an unsupportable opinion, at least not supported by anything in our Constitution. However, since your beliefs are devoid of anything even resembling logic, I can see how that would not interest you. He goes on, Newdow could save himself a lot of time and expense by accepting the fact our federal courts uphold the laws set forth by the United States Constitution. So-called separation of church and state isn't in the Constitution. Wayne, the fact that the words separation of church and state do not appear verbatim in the Constitution does not mean that the concept is not supported by it. The First Amendment is clear to everyone except religious fanatics like yourself who refuse to admit what everyone else can see clearly. A lot like all those contradictions in the Bible that you guys refuse to acknowledge. In fact, the words separation of church and state do appear verbatim in Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptists. Jefferson should know, much better than you, the intent of the Founding Fathers. He was one. The article continues, on matters of state and religion, the Constitution says this, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Wayne, we know what it says, but just like the Bible, the arguments aren't so much over what is said, but how you people twist the meanings of the words to make them mean what you need them to mean. Laugesen continues, if we had a separation of church and state law, it wouldn't keep God off the dollar bill or out of the pledge. That's because God isn't a church or a religion. Wayne, Wayne, where to begin? We do have a separation of church and state law. It is called the First Amendment. It is the one you just quoted but refused to understand. The First Amendment did keep the word God off our money and out of our pledge until the 1950s, when Christian fundamentalists began their takeover of America in earnest. Okay, Wayne, I'll buy the last part. God isn't a church or a religion, because those things are real, and we can prove they exist. The article goes on. A church, a synagogue, a mosque, or a religious philosophy is an establishment of religion. Focus on the Family is an establishment of religion. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is an establishment of religion. The Taliban is an establishment of religion. The word God is not comparable to an organization, a building, a philosophy, or a religion. God, unlike an establishment of religion, is a concept to atheists and believers alike. The believer perceives God as the living creator of all. The atheist perceives God as an unfortunate fictional concept that causes war. Wayne, you were actually going pretty good, and then you had to throw in your straw man at the end. Atheists believe that religion is responsible for some wars, and that is easy enough to prove. For example, the Crusades. If you were being honest, you would have said a concept that sometimes causes war, but you did not. You left out sometimes to give the readers the false impression that atheists believe that religion is responsible for all war, a claim that atheists do not make. The article continues, either way, this country was founded on respect for a higher power than man, an entity generically referred to as God in the English-speaking world. Wayne, how can you prove that? Where does any founding document say that our country was founded on respect for a higher power than man? Where does any document name Jesus Christ? Where does any founding document mention Christianity? Where does any founding document specifically indicate the Christian God? The only way you can support your assertion is by including the Bible as a founding document, which of course you do. Considering how our founding fathers were founding our country on Judeo-Christian principles, isn't it strange how they forgot to mention the big guy even once? Lagesson says, the laws of our land protect our right to revere or disavow God. And that, Wayne, is the main difference between our country and the Middle East. But if fundamentalist Christians succeed in creating their Christian nation, then, like the Middle East, there will no longer be laws to protect those who refuse to submit to your God. Lagesson continues, but they do not protect us from hearing and seeing the term. Believer and non-believer alike make up one nation under God. Wayne, that didn't even make sense. How could non-believers make up a nation under God? He continues, because the first law of the land protects belief or disbelief in God, the right to talk about God, and the right to make God the highest authority in one's life. But Wayne, it doesn't grant you the right to make your God the highest authority in everyone else's life, which is exactly what you are trying to do. He continues, because we're a nation under God, with God as a concept, we are free to love as truth or disavow as fiction. We have never been one nation under Washington, Lincoln, Reagan, or Obama. Wayne, we are not a nation under God. You are projecting your wish onto the rest of us. Saying we are not a nation under a list of presidents makes about as much sense as everything else you've said. The article continues, we are a nation that elevates God, whatever God means, above any human authority because we are a nation that elevates an individual's choices above the agendas of authorities. Wayne, once again, your astute intellectual perception leaves me in the dust. If you don't even know what God means, how can we be a nation that elevates a concept that we don't even know what is meant by that concept? And how dishonest you are again, pretending to claim that you don't know what God means. In other articles, yes, I have endured the torture of reading other articles that you have written, you make it very clear that you do, in fact, know what God means. If your statement were true that we elevate God above any human authority, then why do we no longer have slaves? Why do we no longer stone people to death as God ordered? It doesn't sound to me like we are a nation that elevates God above human authority. If the second part of your statement were true, then individuals would have the right to refuse to pay taxes and defend our country in time of war. Since they do not, it seems that we are not a nation that elevates an individual's choices above the agendas of authorities. Wayne, you're doing great. You haven't gotten a single one right yet. His article continues, "We're a nation under God for those who believe God is Allah, or Jesus, the universe, a giant rock, or a fictional concept. God empowers the individuals and never the state." Wayne, the main purpose of religion is to empower the state. Look at the Middle East and see how the concept of God does the exact opposite of what you claim. It is the rights of the individual that are sacrificed for the good of the religion and the state. Fundamentalist Christianity has the same plans for America. Logeson continues, "Newdow and other atheists who don't like the Pledge of Allegiance should teach their children that one nation under God means one nation under a fictional concept that mom and dad don't care for." Wayne, if the pledge is restored to its original form, that won't be necessary. Wayne says, "They should do that or simply remove their children from schools that recite the pledge." Wayne, rather than resorting to the old love it or leave it argument, why don't you activate your brain for a few seconds and actually come up with a better idea, like removing the phrase you guys wedged into the pledge during the McCarthy era? Logeson continues, "When annoyed by currency, atheists have the option of interpreting 'In God we trust' as 'In a fictional concept we trust, for the sake of limited government.' Hey Wayne, here's an idea. Since you are so open-minded about having other people accept you forcing your beliefs upon them, let's see how open-minded you really are. Let's replace the word God with Allah on our currency. Then, if you are annoyed, you can just interpret 'In Allah we trust' as 'In a fictional God we trust.' Since we both know that would ignite the next crusade, it proves that your suggestions are dishonest." What is it anyway with you fundamentalists and honesty? You guys treat it like it was kryptonite. Logeson's article continues, "God means Jesus to the Christian, Allah to the Muslim, Brahman to the Hindu, and fictional concept to the atheist. God is not an establishment of religion. God exists in our language for all to perceive in one way or another." Wayne, if that were true, I would agree with you. But you are lying again. You do not believe the other gods are real. You believe they are imaginary. Your Bible is quite clear on that. The word God has a specific meaning in American culture, the Christian God, and only the Christian God. You are pretending that it means all gods when it is clear that it was never meant to refer to anything other than the Christian God. Logeson says, "Atheists who get anxiety-ridden over mentions of God cannot be angry with a fictional concept they do not respect. They're angry with the way some people view God and the manner in which those people conduct themselves in the name of religion or higher power." Wayne, atheists are not angry with the way people view God. We could care less if you spend your entire life on your knees begging an invisible ghost not to hurt you. That is your business. That is how you choose to spend your life and is not our affair. But we are angry with the violence that always seems to result from religious belief. We are angry with religion's never-ceasing attempts to control and dominate everyone around it. Logeson says, "Striking God from money and the pledge won't do away with the object of their angst." Wrong, Wayne. Returning the pledge and our money back to the way it was will do away with the object of our angst, which is your attempts to force your religion on everyone else. The object of our angst is not, as you are implying, your invisible friend. Logeson states, "A country founded on a belief that rights are endowed by a creator, not a government, is a nation under God, whatever God may be." Wayne, when our country was founded, everyone believed in creation because science had not yet made the discoveries that would open our eyes to the reality around us. Discoveries like evolution, radiometric dating, genetic mutation, the age of the universe and of the earth, and the Miller-Urey experiment in 1953. The Constitution does not say that rights cannot be endowed by a government. It says that the Creator endowed us with certain unalienable rights. You have misrepresented the Constitution yet again. That is your only option when it doesn't say what you need it to say. You guys do exactly the same thing with the Bible. The article continues. A nation under God will never be a nation under some corruptible man or woman in power. Wayne, our nation must always be under a corruptible man or woman in power, because all humans are fallible. I'll take that any day to a nation under an invisible ghost. Wayne's article concludes, a nation under God will elect its highest human authorities to serve as humble public servants to individuals who are endowed with inalienable rights by a creator commonly referred to as God. Wayne, the same is true of a nation not under God. And now we move to the science segment. Today's article, a potentially huge treatment blocks cancer at the gene level. A new technique snips messenger RNA in half. Scientists think they are onto a potentially huge breakthrough in the fight against cancer after successfully blocking cancer cells on a genetic level for the first time in humans. In clinical trials on cancer patients, the game-changing form of genetic therapy snipped in half the messenger RNA inside cancer cells that tells them to reproduce. The research builds on the 2006 Nobel Prize-winning discovery that messenger RNA can be manipulated, but with a big difference. The work that landed the Nobel was in worms, not humans. That the technique works in humans is pretty amazing. RNA in the test subjects was cut at exactly the right place. If you take that away, you take away the cancer. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Saudi Arabia. The article is entitled, Saudis to Behead TV Host as Sorcerer. TV talk show host boasted of predicting the future. A Lebanese TV host who boasted he could predict the future is to be beheaded tomorrow in Saudi Arabia for sorcery. Dad of two, Ali Hussein Sabat, hosted a popular call-in TV program in Beirut, in which he doled out advice and predicted the future. He was busted by Saudi Arabia's religious police in 2008 while he was visiting the country. Sabat's attorney and Amnesty International are appealing to Saudi officials in a desperate bid to block the execution. My comment. Ah, the religion of peace strikes again. The fact that they can say that with a straight face should tell you something about the mentality of religious fundamentalists. And I mean all fundamentalists, not just Muslims. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Phil Plait, also known as the Bad Astronomer, birth date unknown. He is an American astronomer and skeptic who runs the website badastronomy.com. He formerly worked at the Physics and Astronomy Department at Sonoma State University. In early 2007, he resigned from his job to write Death from the Skies. On August 4, 2008, he became president of the James Randi Educational Foundation. He served in that position until January 1, 2010, having been succeeded by noted skeptic DJ Groth. And now the quote from Phil Plait. Pseudoscience is like a virus. At low levels, it's no big deal. But when it reaches a certain threshold, it becomes sickening.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking!